with Mike, and we saw on the ultrasound that I was going to have a boy. And I almost kissed the doctor. I was so excited about that. So it's so wonderful to have resources like this and opportunities for people to see what God is up to and what God can do. Well, I want to share with you an idea today, and maybe you've heard this quote before. It's this idea that Einstein said, that God does not play dice. God does not play dice. And I want to say that Einstein was right. God does not play dice. But there is something that God does play. God plays Scrabble. God really does play Scrabble. Now, I want to tell you that on my own, I'm not smart enough to come up with anything like this, but I want to turn you on to a book that you might find very helpful and very useful. Lee Strobel's written this book called The Case for the Creator. And there are a number of these books that he's written, The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith. And this was just a fascinating read. And there's some really wonderful things in here about creation and about physics. But I took some remarks today from this idea in the chapter on life and how we come together through DNA. Back in 1953, James Crick came home and told his wife, he said, "I think I've discovered the secret to life." And indeed he had, but his wife really didn't believe him. She said to him years later, "You know, you come home saying things like that all the time. So I didn't know whether to take you seriously or not." But just a few short years later, he and his partner were recognized for the discovery of DNA. And they won the Nobel Prize for that discovery. And when you look at DNA, DNA is the language of life. And it truly is fascinating what God is doing when He plays Scrabble. He puts all the pieces together so that we have the code of human life. The DNA is such a fascinating topic of discussion and ways to look at it. A DNA strand, if you were able to tease it out of a single cell in your body, and there are trillions, a trillion cells in your body, would be 6 feet long. And there's so much information in that that's helpful in creating cells that the best analogy is not a blueprint. The best analogy would be a library. Look at this quote. "Human DNA contains more organized information than the Encyclopedia Britannica. If the full text of the encyclopedia were to arrive in computer code from outer space, most people would regard this as proof of the existence of extraterrestrial intelligence. But when seen in nature, it's explained as the working of random forces." It's just amazing to me what God has put here for us to see as He plays Scrabble in making life. Now, these are the pieces of DNA that He uses. He uses these four amino acids, adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. He puts these things together in various combinations to do what He wants to make. Now, people say sometimes that life could have come together by random chance or by random accident. And what's so funny about DNA and how it all has to come together, that it's nearly impossible that that kind of could have occurred. What if we were to take this box of Scrabble, reach in and grab the pieces, how many times would we have to throw this on the floor before we would come up with intelligible sentences? How many times would we have to throw this on the floor before we came up with, say, a work of literature? Well, it's just as preposterous to think that all those things came together by accident, and some guys that are way, way smarter than me have done the math on all this. They say several things have to come to place. First of all, you have to have exactly the right bonds between each of these amino acids. Secondly, amino acids come in right-handed and left-handed versions, and you have to have all left-handed versions in the right sequence. And finally, they have to line up in a sequence just like letters in a sentence. So what would the odds be that all these things would fall into place, not only to create single protein, but to create complicated cells? Well, about 1 in 10 to the 125th power that one single protein could be created by random choice and random accident. And our body is dealing with thousands and thousands of proteins. There just hasn't been enough time for all those things to come together by accident. Well, we don't believe that. We understand that God has done something that couldn't have been accomplished by accident in 100 million years. So about the only way we could follow up or follow behind an ultrasound like we saw today, a live ultrasound, would be to turn in God's Word and see one that happened years and years before Christ in Psalm 139. So turn there with me, if you will, to Psalm 139. If you don't have a copy of Scripture with you today, I'm going to have this on the screen for us as well. Psalm 139. Verses 13 through 16. It says in Psalm 139, starting with verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." It's amazing to me how God can inspire someone to write in Scripture almost what we saw this morning with all the technology that we have able at our discretion, at our disposal. But we're able to see this wonderful picture of God creating us in the womb, in a place that's hidden to the eyes of people, that's likened to the depths of the earth. A good fact for us to know is that God assembled me. And we saw this morning visually portrayed in the ultrasound, but it's just a wonderful statement. We can't take this verse out of context. You know, we need to understand that Psalm 139 is sort of David's pledge of allegiance. He sees God as having several attributes. He sees God as being everywhere. God as being all-powerful. God as being all-knowing. And he sets in context his own creation and he says, "God assembled me." Have you ever been around an older couple that have been married for a long time? It's so much fun to watch as each of them can almost finish each other's sentences. Have you ever seen that before? I tell you what, God knows us so much better than that. God knows what we're going to say before we start the sentence. And He knows us because He created us. He's intimate with us. I love the intimacy that you see pictured here because as you look at the words that are used, it's the idea of knitting or embroidery. It's the idea that God personally got involved in the creation of each and every one of us. And it really helps us as we live our life to see God in this way. God assembled me not just to make something, but so that I would know Him. Some other things that came from this book that I found very fascinating, talking about how the earth was created, all the delicate stuff that's needed to put earth, make this planet a habitable planet. But some shocking conclusions that these guys came up with. They believe not only was the earth created uniquely to be a place for habitable life, but also it was positioned particularly in the universe to be able to observe some phenomenon that wouldn't be possible to observe if it were placed somewhere else. So it's as you study these things, as you get deeper and deeper into understanding the origin of life and understanding the origin of our planet and the way this planet was created and astronomy and physics and philosophy, and as all these things come together, God didn't just make us, God made us for a reason. And it's as if He set the whole universe before us for something for us to measure, for something for us to discover, for us to know more about. He created us so we would know Him, so that we would be in a particular relationship with Him. I always get so tickled whenever I see the ads on television for Match.com and eHarmony.com, all the famous promises that these online dating services make. These services promise that they can find someone who will love you just the way you are. You know, and that's a wonderful hope that would happen in a human relationship. But you know, we know it's a for certain fact from Scripture that God loves us just the way we are because He's the one who made us. And not only does He love us the way we are, He's able to love us and make us something even better as He continues to make Himself known in our life and as we open to Him. Well, as we read in Psalm 139, there's only really one response to this when you realize that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God got very hands-on, and that is to praise Him. And you may wonder, we hear you talk about praise in church all the time. What does it mean? Well, praise simply means to tell the truth out loud. To tell the truth out loud. And so whenever we realize how wonderfully we're put together and that God was so awesome in His creation, it's the appropriate response for us to say that God assembled me for me to praise Him. That's the reason that I exist. I've talked to so many people that their lives seem empty, their lives seem directionless and pointless. It's because they haven't discovered this truth that God literally created them for Himself and He created them to give praise back to Him. God wants that to be the case for us. And not only that, but I'm assembled and accounted for. The question becomes, am I living like that? As I go to this passage, you look at the last part of it, he says, all the days, this is in verse 16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This isn't the only place in Scripture where God makes reference to the writing of a book or a book is being written. In Psalm 51, David was pouring out his heart before God about sin that he committed, and he said, "Oh God, I hope you'd blot out my transgressions, that you would take my transgressions out of your book." And then you go over to the New Testament in Ephesians 2:10, and there it talks about that we were created in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship, that we were created to serve Him, to do good works for Him. So we need to understand that God assembled us, and He intimately got involved in making us so that we would praise Him, and so also that we would serve Him. I hope that you let what's said in Psalm 139 sink into your life. I love what a study called Gripped by the Greatness of God puts together. It says that we have an understanding about an attribute of God, and we read what the Bible says about that. Then we believe it. Then we change our attitude as a result of it. And finally, we change our life. And I just so encourage you to get in touch with what God is saying in this passage and to understand that God has assembled you and God wants you to praise Him and serve Him, and that it's now it's time for us to be doing that. I am one of these dads that watches what my kids watch on TV. And sometimes it goes from I'm just checking out what they're watching to I become a fan of the show. And I'll tell you right now, I'm hooked in a bad way on Smallville. I just can't help myself. I can't wait for Thursday night to roll around so I can see what's happening. And to me, that's just an amazing story. And when I was first watching the first seasons of it, it was too boring and it was too slow for me. You know, I'm tuning in to see this show called Smallville because it's supposed to be about Superman, how Clark Kent understands that he's Superman and he lives that out. So I'm turning there to see action, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of action. What I'm seeing is kind of a whole lot of romance, you know, a whole lot of soap opera type stuff. And then every once in a while, they tease me a little bit by throwing in a little bit of action. But now we're up to season 6, and I'm happy to say there's still some romance in there. Can't stop that. But there's more and more action. You're starting to see more and more happen. And what's awesome about what's happening in that series right now is you're literally seeing, over the arc of the story, Clark Kent understanding that he has responsibilities, that with his powers he has stuff that he's supposed to do as Superman. It's truly, you're watching character being developed or character being worked out. Our whole culture right now is drawn to stories like that. A lot of the movies we go to are what are called origin stories. The story about how a particular hero or a particular character got to be where they are today. How did that happen? And I want you to know it doesn't happen in the snap of a finger. We don't just wake up one day and realize all of a sudden that we're supposed to be living differently or doing differently than we've constantly lived before. Sometimes it takes time. God works in our lives in two ways. He does work in points where something becomes increasingly obvious to us and we need to do something about it. But God also works in periods. God works in times of our life that He's trying to convince us of something that takes a long time. And you might be looking at God this morning and feeling discouragement, feeling that maybe you're not everything that you want to be or everything you think God would have you to be. But I ask you to trust your Creator. Trust the author of your life, that He is writing into your life these points and these periods to make you a heroic figure, to make you the kind of character that He wants you to be. Maybe you look back in your life and you don't see the activity of God. I want to tell you that it's been there. God has been trying to get your attention. God has been ringing your bell. God wants you to pay attention to Him. And if you will, He can give you this incredible origin story. Not just the origin of being born in a womb, but the origin of being born in Him. Of a complete and new quality of life that comes when you make Jesus your forgiver and leader. When you realize that God assembled you not just just to be a person, but a person made to know Him, a person made to praise Him, and a person made to serve Him. I just want to strongly encourage you, as you look over the arc of your life, as you look over the story, and you aren't seeing the points and the periods that you're happy with or taking you to the place you want to be, that God has been screaming like a megaphone to get our attention. And just as we saw these visual images today, we've read in God's Word, the power of His Word, it has the power to change our life. One of the things I enjoy so much about worshiping here is how God uses the folks that are leading music to bring everything together. And when we sing this last song together, know that this can be your own personal anthem with God. Let me ask those who are leading in worship to come up. We're going to sing this last song, and this can be an anthem for you today. As they prepare to sing, And I just want to encourage you to do a couple of things. You can use this last time of the song as a way of response to God to say, yes, God, you did assemble me. Yes, God, you do belong to me. I want to be yours. You can use this time to do business with Him. You can come up if you'd like to talk to me. I'll turn my microphone off so there won't be any way that as we talk that you would be embarrassed. And also we could talk after the service if God is speaking to your heart in some particular way. God.